LPD 1041.
Signal 10 assistance.
Inside the Squad, presented by the Lafayette Police Department. To serve and protect is not just a motto, it's our mission.
Sending another unit.
Step it up.
Welcome back to Inside the Squad. Today we are joined with the school resource officers, not just at Lafayette Police, but also West Lafayette and the county. So thank you all for joining us.
Absolutely.
So how about if we go around and everyone introduce yourself and your role and who you're with?
Me?
Start with you.
All right. My name is Deputy Steven Stonerock, and I work for the Tippecanoe County Sheriff's Office. I've been there going on 14 years now. I'm starting my 14th year, and I am the school resource officer at McCutcheon High School.
Hello, I'm Marcus Leifer, and I work for the West Lafayette Police Department. I've been an SRO now for the City of West Lafayette full-time for about a year and a half. This is my second year. I'm assigned to the West Lafayette Intermediate School, but obviously I go throughout the corporation whenever needed.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deputy Beth Frazier. I'm also with the Tippecanoe County Sheriff's Office. I've been with them for 15 years, and this is my fifth school year as SRO. I serve all of the TSC elementary schools.
Hello, everybody. My name is Deputy Lucas Boyle, school resource officer at Tippecanoe County Sheriff's Office. I've been a school resource officer for approximately a year. I serve the South and Middle schools for TSC.
Officer Heath Provo with the Lafayette Police Department, and I've been here 22 years now. I've been working in the schools as a security officer since 2003. Started teaching the DARE program 3 years ago, and started as an SRO 3 years ago when I took on the DARE program, full-time SRO also, and work permanently in the schools now.
I'm Nora Ashcraft. I'm the victim advocate here and the legal advocate for the YWCA. I've worked a lot in the last several years with parents who file protective orders with bullying issues. And that's what we're gonna be talking about today is the bullying and how the schools are moving forward with some very positive programs for the community.
All right, thank you all. So we know bullying can cause serious physical, emotional, and mental negative effects for the short term, but also can last with people for life. So let's start out. What exactly is bullying? What qualifies as bullying?
I would say what I teach in the DARE program, it's a repeated over and over again of harassment. It can be physical, it can be mental, verbal, cyberbullying, anything like that. Just it's the repeated over and over again, trying to isolate somebody, embarrass them. And like I said, most of the time, like what we deal with is either in the younger ages is the physical type or the verbal, because they don't have access to a lot of social media at that time. And then when we get up into the high school level, it's more of, in middle school and high school, it's more of the cyberbullying that we get into. So it's just a repeated over and over again. So it's not one isolated incident. It's just over and over again.
I teach my elementaries you have three things that are required to make it bullying. As he pointed out, it's repetitive. It's not a one-time thing. The second thing is it is targeted and unwanted. And then the third thing is that there's an imbalance of power. So someone maybe older than you or someone that you just perceive has more power than you. I go on to explain, especially the fourth grade is where I typically find myself giving this conversation the most often is fourth and fifth grade. But I'll tell the class, for me as a grown-up, I'm looking at a bunch of fourth graders. To me, no one in this room has any more power than the next person. But as I'm saying it, I can very obviously see on their faces that they disagree with me and that they feel the dynamics of that classroom. There are people in their minds that have more power than they do. And so I have to explain to them, for us to understand that as grown-ups, you need to explain to us why you feel that there's an imbalance of power.
That's really good. How is bullying different between the three levels of education?
I'll start with elementary.
Okay, perfect.
So as Heath pointed out just a little bit ago, in the elementary levels, we deal with a lot of the mean behaviors, but to make it bullying, of course, it's repeated. So it's in person almost always, though, in the elementary level. I happen to just be working on a technology report for some parents, and so I know the statistic just off the top of my head, which is unusual. But for cyberbullying, the statistics are there's about 9% of bullying reports are cyberbullying in the elementary level. It jumps to 33% in the middle school and 30% in the high school. So that kind of shows you that at the elementary level, the bullying is almost always in person.
And I would say at the middle schools, I see a little bit opposite. I see more online bullying, social media bullying, rather than in person. We do have the in-person bullying a lot, but 90% of our issues stem from social media bullying itself that spills back into the school.
The elementaries that I deal with, and like Beth was saying, it is most of the time, but what we deal with most of the time is when we do talk to the kids, it's, I'm just playing, but they don't realize that it's actually getting on somebody's nerves. I get a lot of that. Well, I was just messing around, or I was just playing. Well, and kids have told them, or teachers have told them, we've told them, it's unwanted and it needs to stop. And like when it continues, that's like I said, we tell them that's bullying. And that's finally when they finally start getting the picture. But a lot of times, yeah, it's just we get to the, especially like in elementary, it's, well, I was just messing around. And they don't realize that they're actually hurting somebody's feelings or bothering them to a certain extent. So
that's good. I find at the high school level, that's always what it is. It's just a joke. It's a joke.
Yeah, and that's, and I deal with that more in the elementary. That's the big answer I get. Well, I was just messing around. So, yeah.
Other than the level of education, do you feel like what type of demographics do you see are getting bullied? Do you see a different type of bullying from females, males, minorities?
Mostly what I deal with is females. I don't know about you guys, but in the schools it's 9 times out of 10, and I wouldn't say that much, but it's mostly female on female is what I deal with personally. So
I see a lot of times too, if it's males, it's more of a one-on-one type bullying. If it's with regards to females, I would see more of like a clique of girls picking on one individual. That's kind of what I see.
And I also think that I think it's pretty broad stroke. I see it all, the girls and the boys, pretty equally. It's just the context is different. I'd say the online bullying is more often girls. Mm-hmm. The in-person, like he was saying, the one-on-one, that's where I see the boys. And I see that in the elementary level. To say that there's no cell phones in elementary, I wish that were true. Yeah. But we're seeing that all the way down into the third and second grade.
And what are they bullying about? Like looks?
Anything and everything.
What's the most common?
Well, I've had it with looks. I've had it with the way they dress. I mean, dress, looks, girls' weight, their hair, anything like that. And what Beth was saying, it is a lot of social. It's a lot of the cyberbullying that I see mostly with the girls that we deal with, and we do have an in-face bullying, but most of it is cyber. But we do have a lot of face-to-face bullying with the females. But yeah, it's mostly over their looks or the way they talk, just stuff like that.
I don't think that the topic of bullying, like what people are picking on one another about, has really changed over the course of time. It's always been the same stuff.
Yeah.
I would say it's more consistent, though, wouldn't you, as far as like they have more access to social media, so it's always, they don't get a break from it, which causes an issue. So like back when I went to school, if someone's getting bullied, it happens in school, you'd go home, you get a break from it. Now it's consistently, you know, you get on the phone when you get home and it's over Snapchat and TikTok and Facebook and all that stuff. So that's what makes it harder for us and worse on the student as well.
Yeah. Well, I tell the kids all the time that I grew up with a phone that was attached to the wall.
Yep.
And if the girl that didn't like me very much in elementary school wanted to tell me what she thought about me, she'd have to call the phone that my mom would answer or knock on my door. So it ended, like you said, and they don't have that. It continues no matter if they're at home or at school.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it plays too, hiding behind your phone too. You know what I mean? A lot of people, it's not, you know, if it's not face-to-face, it's easier to talk to somebody and make fun of somebody over social media or over electronics. But when it's face-to-face, it's a different story, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of the examples I do with that that's very impactful with the kids, I'll warn the teacher. Actually, he got to be the brunt of it one time. He happened to be in a class I was doing this in.
Oh, yeah.
And I will warn the teacher that I'm going to say some really mean things to you that I don't actually mean. And it always makes me uncomfortable, even though it's a joke. And it's just for education. And I will look at the teacher and I'll pick something really silly like their shoes. And I'll be like, you know, she just showed up to school today and she was all excited because she got new shoes for her birthday. And she's telling me all about them. And I looked at them like, those are hideous. Like, why would you even wear those? And of course, all the kids are like, you know, their shock factor. And I explain the fact that when you say things in person, there's empathy built into it because I can see her face. Yeah. But when I go home, the words mean the same. The words are just as real. It's not fictional land on the phone just because you can't see their face. It still has impact. And hopefully some of the kids are understanding that just because you're a keyboard warrior and you're sitting behind your phone, the words still matter.
Right. Yeah, you if you receive a text, you know, you don't know if that's sarcasm or just joking or straight up serious. Right.
I see it a lot, too. It's like in the high school, especially, a lot of it spills over into the school day. So it's happening all night, like you said. They're 2-3 o'clock in the morning. They're responding to these messages and going back and forth, and then it spills over. First thing the next morning, they're going to settle it in the hallway or that sort of thing. They never get a break from it. That's the difference, I think, between us and the younger generation is they just never get a break from it. It's constant.
Yeah.
So something I really want to talk about today is a lot of the parents don't know the steps to take. They really have no idea what to do when they feel like their children are being bullied. So if we could go around the table, I think you're all parents. So what kind of steps as a parent would you tell someone else to take to get help from the school?
I tell them that they have to be in the moment, right? Like as soon as it happens, we have to be able to deal with it. Waiting a day or two and then coming up and saying, well, so-and-so was doing this to me. Okay, when was that? Was that just now? No, it was like 2 days ago. So it has to be in the moment and go tell an adult or a supervisor so that we can handle and take care of the situation right then.
A lot of times I'll find that when a parent comes forward, you know, we're in a meeting or something, and a parent comes forward and says, well, he or she has been bullied by this person for the last 3 months. You know, I want something done about it. Of course, we're going to look into it, but it's very hard for us to go back 3 months and start solving an issue that happened 3 months ago as opposed to coming to us when it's happening and letting us handle it. First thing in my opinion would be definitely, you know, tell administration right away, call a principal because they have direct contact with us and they'll reach out to us and kind of let us know what's going on if we're needed. A lot of times with that situation, unless it's getting serious, it can be handled on administrative side and we don't even get involved. But if there's a need for us to get involved, we definitely will.
I think that's a tendency too. It seems like in the high school, there'll be a problem, but maybe people are hesitant to reach out or they're not sure how to reach out. But I always direct people, we got to start at the administrative level first.
Yeah.
Let's get the principals involved. They do want to help, but they can't help if they don't know.
Right.
So that's a big problem plus sometimes the kids will come home and they'll say, well, I mentioned something. Well, they don't always mention in a way that maybe we perceive as a problem. Instead of like officially coming and saying, hey, there's a real issue here. Sometimes they maybe casually mention it to a teacher or something like that, and it doesn't get addressed appropriately. So it's always good as a parent to verify that. Like, yeah, I went to my teacher and I said something. Well, you could always call the school and double check on that. Like, get involved in it for sure. And be aware of what your kids are doing, especially on social media.
Yeah, because
a lot of times the parents don't know what's going on.
Yep. So.
And that's a big one, like that we just discussed, that we tell parents, if you're going to let your kid have a phone and access to all this stuff right at their fingertips, then they need to dig in there and they need to put the child restraints on their stuff or whatever, because, I mean, kids get into some weird stuff all on their phone and all the Snapchat and everything like that. And that's a big thing I tell parents. But I also tell parents that when they talk to their kid about being bullied, if the kid comes to them and if the kid doesn't want to talk very much, don't be the bully and try to force it out of them. Let them finally come and tell them, I know we need to know as soon as possible, but the kid's already under enough stress anyway. Don't put more stress on them. And then the parent become the bully and freak the kid out. So that freak the student out, their child or anything like that. So that's the big thing that I like to express. But the big thing is monitor your kids' social media. That's a big one on mine. So,
yeah. I would say that I do this with the kids, but as a parent, I would want to know how to empower my own kid to stick up for himself, because we've said it several times, bullying is repetitive. So how do the kids stick up for themselves during that process of repeated issues with a particular student? And I break it down into several steps. You can ask them to stop, which is kind of the nicest version in a calm tone of voice, and simply asking them, hey, like, can you knock it off? I don't really like it that you're making fun of my shoes. And then the next level, I'd say tell them to stop. You're a little bit more blunt. You're a little bit more assertive. You're not rude. You're just saying it like it is. You can avoid, meaning don't go in the areas you know they're going to be in. Don't go to common areas that you know that they like to go. And then ignore them, which is what you guys all understand, is just let it roll off your back. Every single child that has siblings has heard their parents say, just ignore it and they'll go away. And is it a guarantee that that's it's going to happen with a bully? No, but it's just another tool in their toolbox. Then the very last thing that I tell kids as their last effort to make this bully stop is to go to an adult. So I think parents need to know what advice to give their kid to empower themselves to help hopefully stop the bullying before it gets to the point where they need to come to a grown-up.
So can you tell if someone's being bullied? Are there signs? Because I remember when I was in school, I didn't want to tell anyone because, you know, I'm no snitch. So how can you tell if a kid's being bullied if they don't?
So for example, for me, I have three middle schools, all of which I try to pay equal attention to. There are signs. Obviously, if you know of somebody who is, you know, usually outgoing or usually jolly and they're hanging their head one day or they're sitting alone at lunch. Anytime I go to the our lunches, I try to sit with that student or those two students and talk with them. But, you know, with the amount of kids that in my middle schools, it's more up to the parents and administrators that see those kids every single day to come forward. That's how you, in my opinion, how you really get out of it.
Anyway. I would agree with the teacher comment for sure, because they're in the classroom all the time, yeah. Right? So they know what the demeanor is of that student, that yeah. certain student, for sure.
Body language, actions, yeah. I have students, because I'm in the same school all the time, so I do have students. I saw one actually 2 or 3 days ago, I think last week, and just looked very solemn and very not herself, and I walked over and I'm like, what's going on with you? And she's like, oh, and she kind of told me, you can just tell, especially if you know them well, for sure. So,
some of the big ones that I ran into, just one of the biggest ones is a parent came in and actually said that my kid's literally refusing to come to school just because of bullying situations. It's just, they used to like to come to school, and then all of a sudden, so they're getting targeted, and literally they cry every morning. They refuse to get out of the car in the morning just because of a bullying situation. And that's the one that really hit home. So
I've had that too, and shockingly enough, the bullying situation was actually cyberbullying. It was not in person at school, but I think I don't know if it was embarrassment, if they were worried that other kids were going to find out about what had happened online, but the things that were happening on their phone were so embarrassing or so dramatic for them that it was impacting their daily school.
Absolutely. So that's a great segue, Beth. Let's talk about cyberbullying.
Okay.
What do you guys have to say about that?
I don't think any of us have anything positive to say about cell phones in kids' hands. Is that fair?
I think that's the root of about 100% of the problem.
100%. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah. It literally boils my blood sometimes when we get these calls, we tell kids, stay off your phone, or just try to not respond back. And kids are impulsive. They get called a name. What are they going to do? Call somebody else a name right back. And then I said, that just adds fuel to the fire. And then they just keep on. Some kids just can't not respond back. Sometimes I've been lucky and I've had them not respond back, but then the 9 times out of 10, they respond back. And then it just goes on and on and on. And I don't know about you guys, but one time we had two kids going at it on, they had not talked to each other in like almost 3 months face to face in school. It was all over social media. Just all over social media, just calling each other names and hadn't talked to each other actually face to face in like 3 straight months. And it's crazy that they can communicate like that now and just not talk face to face. But it's not good communication. It's constant name calling, bullying, and then they get their friends involved and then friends chirp back and forth, and then it turns out to be a very bad, very bad situation.
Group chats are the bane of my existence right now. It's because it's like power in numbers, and as I was just talking about avoidance, I tell kids this too. If you know that a certain person in that group and you do not get along, you're oil and water, then don't put yourself in that group chat. Mm-hmm. You know where it's going to lead, and then inevitably it boils into something much bigger than it should be, and then it spills over into the school day and it interrupts their school day.
Yeah, and I wish that the thing is, I think as parents we tend to do is just tell them, well, just don't do it. Mm-hmm. Just don't be on there. I'll take your phone away. That sort of thing. But the reality of it is that is where their social areas are, yeah, is online. I hate to say it, but just telling them, don't be involved. That's not really an option for them. It's at least in their minds, it's not an option for them to not be there. And so sometimes just talking to them about basic things, as versed as they are at social media, I find a lot of times they don't ever consider the fact that, like, you could make your profile private. You could make it so that you can't receive random messages from people, because I find a lot of times that's what it is, either a group chat or it'll be a random message from an unknown account that they don't know who the person is. It's clearly someone from school, and they will send them a nasty message. They don't consider the fact that they could close off their profile so that other people can't message them. I think they know it's there, but in their mind, it's closing them off, and they need all the opportunities to be as social as possible. So sometimes it's just as simple as saying, you know, hey, you need to lock down your accounts, make it so only your friends can message you, and talk to their friends, because especially when it comes to bullying, sometimes too, you'll get that good meaning friend that will then relay messages that are said in the group chats that they have excluded themselves from. And then they're still getting the message across, the bully to the victim. And so sometimes having those conversations with their friends too, of like, I don't need to know what's going on in the group message. It's only going to make me feel bad. So I think the important thing is to give them skills to navigate it, because you're just not going to get away from it. It's the same thing as going out in public. We teach them how to act in public so that they don't get themselves in trouble. We need to teach them how to act online so that they don't get themselves in trouble. They're going to be there.
So in a society that's increasingly focused on technology, people are going to have cell phones eventually. Mm-hmm. What do you guys suggest is a good age to give your kid a cell phone?
Never.
I would say 15 would be a rational number. Yeah. 15.
Yeah. That's a good, maybe even 16. I don't know. They're old enough to drive a car then. Maybe they're mature enough to have a cell phone. But given a kid that's in fourth or fifth grade a cell phone, I think a bad idea.
I will say giving a kid in the fourth grade a smartphone, I will change it to a smartphone.
I'll change that.
So there's a lot of parents and nobody has landlines anymore. So every parent I hear says, well, my kid's got to be able to get a hold of me because they're home alone sometimes. Flip phones are a thing still. Mm-hmm. and they're way cheaper. So it's the untapped internet access. That's the scary part. That's the dangerous part. And that's where the kids start to get us involved. But flip phone all day long. But up until 15, 16 years old, I would agree with 16. I like it. I would not be doing a smartphone.
Right. Yeah. My son's in the sixth grade and he has a smartphone. So it also comes down, and everybody has said it, you know, it's education, you know. He knows that I can grab that phone. It's not his phone. It's my phone. Mm-hmm. So I can grab that phone, and I will grab that phone, go through text messages, go through his search history, see what he's looking at, see what he's listening to, see who's texting, see what kind of texting he's doing. So he knows, it just keeps him in check. And so even educating him, telling him to educate his friends, hey, don't send me anything you don't want my dad to read, because he's checking my phone. you know. So that's also, you know, getting the word out as well.
Yeah. And I feel like a new app is coming out like every year that kids are moving to. So what do you guys see? I know Snapchat's a big one. What other apps should parents be concerned about?
I've never even heard of that one, but we do a Snapchat constantly.
Snapchat, TikTok, and YouTube, I'd say, are the most popular three.
Right.
Be Real is more of just a photo. Two photos. Right. So at any time your phone could go off and you're supposed to like give a photo of like where you're at and partial phase or something.
Does it have the B on it? Okay, then I have seen that one. Okay, I just wasn't sure what it was called. Yeah. So
I have that one. I haven't done my Be Real today if you guys want to be on.
It's very trendy. It changes all the time. Yeah. Like last year in our school, Be Real was the thing. I haven't heard anything about it this year.
Yeah. So, Instagram kind of comes and goes. It's not quite like Facebook for old people, as they say, but Instagram is still, and I would say Instagram is definitely the common denominator of girl bullying. They're the worst on Instagram.
Yep.
But TikTok and Snapchat, that's how they text each other. They don't use texting.
You're right. They do not use text messages at all. You need to look at their social media.
And Snapchat and TikTok, neither one have any type of real parental controls. They have very minimal parental controls, and there's no aftermarket apps in the parental control department that will monitor either of those apps.
I would encourage parents really to look at the apps too and understand that, you know, within these apps there's ways to hide certain messages, like Snapchat has a My Eyes Only, to where the student can create almost essentially a password right in the app. But when you're just looking at the app as a parent, you're scrolling through messages. You don't see that. But if you log into the My Eyes Only, that's where all the hidden stuff is at. So that's something definitely to keep
essentially what for. I tell parents is if you go to the My Eyes Only and you see that it is password protected, you have a problem.
Yeah.
Right. If there's no password, they don't even have it set up. So no harm, no foul.
I think it's like you said, it's really, really important to maintain that control too. There's so many parents that will come to me and say, hey, I've got this problem now. And they're 17, try and maintain that control from the start. From the day you give them that cell phone, make it very clear what the rules are and be in charge of it. You are in charge of it. You pay for it. And some parents are shocked when I'm like, you know, you can just turn their phone off. And they're like, I can? I'm like, yeah, you pay the bill. You can turn it off. It's your phone. So, yeah.
Now, for parents that don't have the time to sit down and look through the messages and the apps and or maybe don't know about the hidden areas of the phone, I am not a salesperson for this. I just use it, and I've seen it in action. There's an app called Bark. There's also a phone called Bark. And I'm guessing that the two TSC guys at this table knew I was going to bring this up because I talk about it all the time. But it has an algorithm built in that it does what he's doing for you. So it goes through your messages. It goes through all your apps. It goes through it. It keeps up with the emojis that none of us know what any of them mean. It keeps up with all of the lingo like Riz. I didn't know what that meant for the longest time. It keeps up with that so that you as a parent don't have to, or if you just simply don't have the time to sit through and read all the 95% of the messages are innocent, silly conversation. And the conversation that I like to have with parents about that is sometimes it also gives your kid an out. Like, maybe there's something that's been happening on their phone that they're uncomfortable with, but they're too scared to bring it up to anybody. You're going to get these alerts directly to your cell phone, and it's going to notify you before your kid ever tells you. So sometimes it kind of helps your kid talk to you about things that are a bit hard to bring up.
And it's Bark, B-A-R-K?
Yeah, B-A-R-K.
Some schools have on kids' surfaces and iPads as well.
Yeah.
Like it's called Bark. And if they type in gun or something like that,
right,
principals get alerts to that.
Yes.
So,
yeah, and you can actually also get a Bark Home device, and it will monitor your gaming consoles. And if you have a smart TV, you obviously can watch YouTube. It'll monitor that stuff too.
Doesn't it also, too, if you attempt to send a picture, it'll send it to the parent first, and they would have to approve it? Is that part of the app, too? Or is
that is a different app.
Okay. I forgot what that one was.
Yeah, I can't remember now either.
That was a good one?
That was a good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up now, but I can't remember now.
Okay.
But, you do get a notification of the picture, but it's already sent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is really excellent information, and I know I've heard stuff about these apps and stuff that I didn't know about. I know the parents are going to get a lot out of that. I'd like to move along to sexual harassment. What can the school do about that? What can you as SROs do, and what are you seeing out there?
Well, I can start. Like I said, I see a lot of this. And are you talking also about like sexting and everything on the phone?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, we've Officer Roberts, who's our main SRO, and then I assist him with a lot of issues in the schools. But we do run into this a lot where, and we try to every year tell kids, Officer Roberts and I will give big discussions, especially freshman class coming into high school, because sometimes an upperclassman boy will like a younger classman girl, especially say to girls, if you don't want it out there on the internet, don't send it out there, post it or anything. So we get a lot of girls sending inappropriate pictures of themselves to a boy, and the girl comes to us and say, well, I trusted him. He wasn't supposed to send that to all of his friends. Next thing you know, we have 50 different guys and people, any other, even girls in the school that have that picture. This is what people don't understand. That's that if the child's underage, that's possession of child pornography, and they can face charges for that. And that's what the big thing we want them to understand. We've had to arrest kids for that, for possession of child pornography, and it's a big deal. It's a felony, and we don't want to have to do that. But we just tell Officer Roberts likes to say, if you're cast out. Sometimes, you know, you can't reel that picture back in. It's out there forever.
That's right.
And it will stay out there, and it'll be on the internet. No matter how many times you take it off, it's always going to be on another site. So you can't do that. I mean, it drives us nuts how many times we tell kids not to do it. They continue to do it. So it's very frustrating.
It's the old adage, it's never going to happen to me. They think, I'm somehow going to be different than the last person. In the elementary schools, believe it or not, I'm starting to see this too. And they're sharing it amongst their classmates. And the other thing in terms of it's not necessarily sexting, but with the sexual harassment and just that topic in general that I'm seeing in the elementary is, I won't give any specific examples, but I'm seeing behavior that at one time in my career, I would have thought maybe this is a DCS call. What's going on at home? How are they learning this? And today's world, the answer is it's YouTube. They're seeing these things on YouTube, and they're learning these things online from whomever. It might be somebody they've never met in real life. And then it's trickling into the school, and they're talking about it amongst their classmates and or doing other things. So I'm seeing things in the elementary level that I never thought I would see.
And same here. It's unbelievable that when we pull them in our office and we talk about them, that the stuff that they do open up about, like, mm-hmm. I mean, just the amount of kids that are sending pictures back and forth of inappropriate stuff that they're doing, or just, like you said, taking pictures of themselves in inappropriate ways.
If there's a photo that's circulating out there, what can the child or the parent do about it?
Delete it.
If it's out everywhere, if everyone has one, can they come to you?
It's almost impossible. Yeah, we can file a report, and we can try, but we might have to seize 70, 80 different phones. I mean, that's almost impossible.
Yeah, and the reality is it's already out there.
It's out
there.
That's
the problem. That's the big thing that parents don't want to hear and that the students don't want to hear is once it's out there, it doesn't really matter who you are. Even if you're the entire company of Snapchat, maybe it's not on Snapchat. Maybe it's on Instagram. Maybe it's on whatever form of social media. It's traveled across multiple different servers, multiple different computers. As soon as you release it out into the world, really as soon as you put it onto a phone, someone has access to it. And they don't like hearing that, and that's why we're always preaching so hard. Please don't do this. Don't take these photographs because it's not a snap of your fingers. Law enforcement can't make it disappear, just like the companies can't. Once it's gone across a few computer systems, it's on the internet. It's not going to go away, and that's a constant. And honestly, I'd like to tell the parents also is if your child has a phone, has a smartphone, and are at least I know from high school perspective, if they have a phone and they're in high school, there is a huge chance that they have either received an inappropriate picture or they have taken an inappropriate picture. There's a lot of parents that do not believe that's going on. I'm just telling you, they've been exposed to it or they have done it themselves, more than likely.
The thing that we've seen this year that proves his point that they've probably seen it is we've had unsolicited photos being shared via AirDrop on our school buses that include elementary up to high school. I mean, anybody receives it because it's AirDrop. You click accept and bam, you have an inappropriate photo on your phone that you didn't ask for. So he's right. They've probably seen it. The only thing that I can think to give advice to parents, it's not a guarantee that it's going to make it go away, because as they've both said, once it's out there, it's out there. But they can go to cybertipline.org and make a NCMEC, that's a National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. They can make a report there. Again, it's not a guarantee. That means they're going to get to pull it down, but it's it's the best we've got.
I think exactly what they said, too, like during that, was they can minimize, at least.
Yes,
that helps minimize,
absolutely. They can help minimize it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have another question leading off of that?
I do. What about if it's comments or if it's gestures? How did the schools handle that?
Like, a lot of people don't know this, but at our schools, we got great video. And if it's happening in the hallway or something like that, we pull the video. And if we see the gestures, an administrator immediately gets involved. It can lead from in-school suspension to actually being kicked out of school for a couple days. And if it continues to happen, and it just matters how severe the incident is, like first time, it can lead to expulsion right off the bat. That just if it's that bad. But yeah, it can always lead to a suspension and all that stuff. Actually just be kicked out of school permanently and be offered alternative schools. It just matters the severity of it. But it's not going to be tolerated. And that's what we need. And it's not a joke. Some of these kids would say, just like we talked about, it's not a joke. It's inappropriate touching, anything like that, boy, girl, boy, it doesn't matter. But it's not going to be tolerated, because kids need to feel safe when they go to school. And that's the biggest thing. It's all about safety. And we want people to feel safe, but it's just not going to be tolerated. Principally, administrators just aren't going to. They tell kids right at the beginning of the school, we put them in the auditorium, we talk about stuff like that, and they're warned, and they're told it's in the handbook, and they're told it's just not going to be tolerated.
I think from our perspective, I've seen or dealt with it in the past too, and I will say that the school corporation, Tippecanoe School Corporation, at least I can say they take it extremely seriously. Like if that's going on, they react immediately, and it's swift, and we take it very, very seriously. Fortunately, we try to deal with those things on a school level, depending on what they are, of course. But if it comes criminal, we will absolutely deal with it. Again, we need to be made aware is the thing. I always tell parents and students too, if they're trying to sneak away in the areas of campus, and we got a new camera system as well, it worked quite well, but students are students. They know, they're smart. And so they'll find ways around systems to go to places where they know people aren't at or people aren't watching. And that's what leads them to get into those situations sometimes. So I tell them, make sure that you tell them they need to be where they're supposed to be. If you're in your classroom, there's a teacher, there's adults, you can, people are watching. So when you try to go to a secluded area, don't do that, right? Don't go where you're not supposed to be. And it greatly minimizes your risk of that. But I know for one, we take it extremely seriously when we get those reports. So,
good to know. So when we spoke with a lot of you earlier, we were really excited about, we're going to take this into a positive spin now. We're going to talk about the community programs that you all are a part of, and what this means to students and fitting in and feeling more safe. So whichever one would want to start out and tell us what you're doing out there.
We do Rad Kids in the summertime. It's just self-awareness, a little bit of self-defense, what to do in certain situations, dealing with one, bullying, two, being in a situation that you may find yourself in. But that's during the summer. And then obviously I'm doing it all day through school. Just walking the hallways, talking to everybody. I'm kind of the unique one in the room where I only have one school. So I'm there 7 to 3 every day. I have 6 lunches. And if I see those kids that have a sad face on them, I sit down, talk to them, find out what's going on. And it could just be, it's West Side. So, I bombed a math test. It is today. Sure. It was, a group of girls that were feuding with each other. She was just sitting at the table yesterday talking. So a lot of it is smack talk and, dealing with that. But Rad Kids is our biggest one that we do.
That's an excellent program.
Mm-hmm. I unfortunately have 11 schools and can no longer do Rad Kids, but I have basically taken Rad Kids and turned that into my programming. So I just teach it in classroom settings instead of a camp style. But I'd say the thing that I enjoy the most about what I'm doing in my schools is, and one of the schools is called Breakfast Club. It's not called that in every school, but we have an SRO challenge coin, and on the backside of our challenge coin, it has 5 words listed on it. It's honesty, trust, respect, responsibility, and kindness. I have broken down those 5 words into 5 different classroom presentations, and I work with my elementary kids. Not all of them get to participate in this. It's more often than not, it's kids that are struggling. Some schools I do it one-on-one. It just really kind of depends on the situation or the school population. And for example, recently I did this at Mayflower, and you might have seen my car driving through town covered in markers. They got to, for Trustworthy, that was their challenge. They got to draw all over my police car with dry erase markers, and they basically used my car as a whiteboard to show the community what they learned about those 5 words. So each week I offer them a challenge because it's a challenge coin, and that's how they earn the challenge coin, by completing all 5 challenges.
That's great.
So there's only 5 of us SROs, so we run a field day as well for the middle schools. I participate sometimes if Officer Frazier needs some help in the elementary. But we also do like the SAFE program, which is coming up at McCutcheon. We do a lot of summer programs as well with our explorers too. We meet every month with our Explorer Academy. That's in the summertime. But I would say field day is like a series of events?
Yeah, it started as a brainchild of mine. It was just a seatbelt convincer is all. And then we thought, you know what, let's blow this thing up. And it's now different stations that the kids, the design of it was to prepare the kids for summer, to teach them life skills that maybe nobody has thought to teach them. How to use a fire extinguisher. What are those weird looking mailbox things by all the retention ponds? Well, funny enough, there are throw bags in there. How do you use a throw bag to save a drowning victim? And then the fun one, of course they're not driving, is we throw drunk goggles on them and they get in little pedal cars and have to manipulate a course. So yeah, that's our fun at the middle schools.
Yeah, and then for the high school, we run the SAFE program now, which is coming up, and that's pretty much to teach seniors. I think we're going to open it up to juniors possibly.
Yeah, I think we're going to open it to juniors and seniors at both high schools.
Yeah, and that kind of teaches them a little bit of what they can look forward to in college, and a lot of which is how to stay out of trouble in college. Yeah. And
it stands for situational awareness for every day. So they learn a lot of different things. The girls actually get some physical tactics skills. We teach them for a couple hours how to defend themselves if needed. And this year I think we're going to work on getting some unique guy life skills, how to tie a tie.
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure they all know how to change a tire. Simple things like that.
Good ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Keith?
Yeah, I teach the DARE program in several different schools in Lafayette. So I teach all fifth. It's basically based towards all fifth graders. It's the Drug Abuse Resistance Education program. I teach over 500 kids each year at Sunnyside, and then I teach at St. Boniface, St. Lawrence, St. James, and Lafayette Christian. And like I said, it's all about making good decisions. That whole program is pretty much based. It's got 10 different lessons. But Lesson 8 is all about bullying, about if you witness bullying, and what you need to do, how to help somebody. It's almost a 2-day class because it just takes so long to get through that lesson. So much good information. We have to talk about the who, what, when, where, and why. Who's being bullied? What's going on? Where is it happening? Why do you think it's happening? Stuff like that. Kids really enjoy it. Like I said, each kid after I graduate through the DARE program, I always go back to all the schools after they graduate, even a couple years afterwards, and check up on them to make sure that they're still making good decisions, making sure they're doing okay. And then, like I said, I bring up candy and everything throughout the school year, especially in the spring. Tons of church functions on the weekends, hanging out with kids, passing on stickers, candy. I just did Superhero Saturday a couple weekends ago at the Y. I'm getting ready to do McAllister Center's spring festival. And then also in the summer, in June, we do the Junior Police Academy. It's a 3-day event where kids come in and actually learn what it's like to be a police officer. We do character building and everything. And it's just a lot of fun. But it's great working with kids, and I love this position. So
it's the best job in the department.
It is. I love it. Absolutely love it. So
when my kids were younger, they went to the sheriff's camp, and that was like one of their most favorite memories.
It's one of our most favorite as well. So for those that don't know what sheriff's camp is, we're actually getting prepared for that again this year. It's June 17th through the 20th. The camp counselors are all sheriff's deputies. You stay on site at Pine Creek Camp for 3 nights and 4 days. And since your kids have been there, we've added a few things. We actually do a mud run the first day through the creek and up the hills. It's awesome. It's a great time. Minimal injuries. And they have a brand new pool that is functioning. And they do a huge swing. There's lots of like regular old, just good old fashioned camp stuff. And then there's all the police activity involved as well. So we've got the SWAT team that comes in, K-9 demo, bomb demo. We have a massive fireworks show the first night, a dance. We have some really awesome speakers coming this year. I'm partial to that. But we do a crash demo that one of the officers actually gets suited up in their gear, and they do a mock OWI investigation for the kids. The fire department comes in and does a extrication. Thank you. I'm not a fireman, just married to one. They do, what am I missing?
Tasing.
Yeah, we do still a taser demo.
Canine demo.
We do that.
Airsofts.
We do a round robin day where they get to do crime scene. They do firearm competition. It's with airsoft, not real guns. They do emergency vehicle operations in a golf cart. That's an absolute blast. They actually get to respond as an SRT in a negotiation on round robin day. And we also do like a jail scene where they have to book in their own cabin mates. So, I mean, there is definitely no shortage of fun. There is a shortage of sleep.
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
You're up at 4 or 5 in the morning, you're not going to bed till
correct, midnight.
12, yeah.
Yeah. And this program is free, correct?
In Tippecanoe County, the Tippecanoe County Sheriff, he pays for it for all students in this county. The ISA will not turn down anyone if they can't pay. It's $25. If you have any financial issues whatsoever, they are not going to turn down a kid. So if they need an application, either reach out to the sheriff or directly through the Indiana Sheriff's Association.
Great. Thanks for that information.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget also the stat flight and
Stat flight and Lake County. Helicopters sheriff's. Come in.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. But we do also through the county, we do have our Explorer Post that comes and assists with that. And our Explorer Post is kind of like a police academy style thing, except we do it all year round. So we meet once a month and have meetings, and we do cover various topics from you name it. And it's something where they actually get to take on the role of police officer. So it's for kids that are interested in policing. And we go through kind of a process to get them into the post. And then once they're in, then they get to learn all kinds of things. They get to experience our drone team, our canine team. They get to do traffic stops and go over them. And then we have a week-long camp in the summer that we cover all of those things where they do get to go to a range and fire our weapons or go on a ride-along or that sort of thing. So that's a big part of what we do, too. I personally at McCutcheon High School run the gaming club. So we do a bunch of different meetings for gaming club. I find, though, that like a lot of those programs or a lot of those things that we do, it's really the conversations in between that are really important. So the gaming club gets the kids to come and hang out and have fun and discuss games. But it's so much more than that by having those individual conversations with those kids, at least in my role. In high school, it's harder. You go to an elementary school and they swarm you and they love you and they think you're awesome because you're a police officer. You go to a high school and the reaction is a little bit different. so you have to adjust to that. But those conversations that are had on the side of those events and of those things that we're doing are what's really important. I speak to a lot of kids. It's that counseling. That's my favorite part of being a school resource officer is that counseling side of things. Hey, listen, I was thinking about buying a car at 25% interest. What do you think about this? Yeah, I've had those conversations. So a lot of dad stinks. Talk. I get a lot of dad conversations, and I love them. So
there's definitely no shortage of activities for kids in our community. I know at the Lafayette Police Department, Officer Provo, you are you're doing something like every single week, either hosting or going to something. And for LPD, if anyone listening is interested in our activities, you can go to our website at LafayettePolice.us or social media. What about you guys? Where can people go if they're interested in going to an activity?
So the sheriff has a pretty strong following on Facebook, yes. Tippecanoe County Sheriff's Office. If you're interested in the Explorer Post, we also have a Facebook page, or you can reach out at explorerpost2352 at gmail.com. But most of what's going on at the sheriff's office is going to be on Facebook. We do a lot of sharing on that.
Okay. Yeah, if you just reach out to the sheriff's office, too, they'll get you in touch with us, but no problem.
All right. What about West Lafayette?
I would say the same. Follow us on Facebook. I know we have Twitter, and I don't know, Lieutenant Green has a lot of other stuff, I think, that he's doing. So either call us, follow us on Facebook.
Good deal.
Or call an officer that you know. We'll tell you.
All right, so we're running out of time. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about before we wrap up?
We covered most of it.
I think we covered an awful lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, though.
So I just want the parents out there to have this information today and to get to know these officers and feel comfortable with contacting them, knowing that your children are safe with them and that they care an awful lot about your children and this community. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming today.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, so that wraps up this episode of Inside the Squad. Thank you for coming, everyone. And yeah, we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you.
Thank you.